friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, welcome to the November 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's Friday, and we have an action-packed show to get you ready for the weekend. We'll have Samson Omale joining us with a report on the African Soccer Champions League final series from Abuja, Nigeria. We'll also check in on the 2018 MLS Cup playoffs, which completed its single elimination phase here in North America last night. And my colleague Gwen Uten is here with a preview of how some Kenyan runners look to perform at this Sunday's New York City Marathon. Finally, we'll wrap up the show with Momoyo Hoops Hamza, who'll be here to get a read on the first couple weeks of the NBA season. So let's get going. First off, Samson Omale. Welcome, Samson.
We begin with the 2018 CAF Champions League final, as Egyptian giants Al Ahly are dreaming of extending their unprecedented record with a 9th CAF Champions League title as they prepare to take on North African rivals Esperance of Tunisia in the much-anticipated final. Both sides clash at the Alexandria-based Burj Al Arab Stadium later tonight, before locking horns again in the decisive return leg at the Radis Olympic Stadium just outside the Tunisian capital Tunis 7 days later. I spoke with some sport journalists who all appear to give the Egyptian side Al Ahly an edge.
If you go by the form that they displayed in the semifinals, I'm going to give the first leg to Al Ahly. They were composed, they showed dominance, and of course they kept eyes on the prize. They knew what they wanted. Premier de Augusto pushed Esperance to the edge in the semifinals. So for the first leg, I'll give it to Al Ahly.
Looking at the head-to-head performance as well, Al Ahly seems to have the edge. And somehow, I just think Al Ahly may just have the tip.
Al Ahly are more of a better customer when it comes to the CAF Champions League, though they have a little striker crisis.
Staying with football news, the 2018 Beach Soccer African Cup of Nations will take place in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, from December the 9th to December the 14th, 2018. In Group A, host Egypt will square it out alongside Morocco, Ivory Coast and Madagascar, while Group B include the 2008, 2011, 2013 and 2016 African Beach Soccer Cup of Nations winners Senegal, Nigeria, Libya and Tanzania. The winner and runner-up will automatically qualify to represent Africa at the 2019 African Beach Soccer World Cup. Sports journalist Enito Obadina, Shegu Oduayo and Austin Okonakman reflect on the draws.
Group B should be the looking glass when it comes to the ability to predict which team will shine best at the CAF Beach Soccer Africa, with Nigeria and Senegal and also Libya, and all looking good for Beach Soccer Africa.
But it's going to be a new leaf for Tanzania. This will be the first time they will be participating at this level. Perhaps they may be kicked out in the early stages, or they might just be shocking the world and going as far as the finals.
I love the fact that Egypt and Morocco will get to play themselves, and of course Ivory Coast. Those are formidable sides. I expect the North Africans to do their thing, but keep your eyes closed to Senegal.
In athletics news, two-time London Marathon champion Mary Kitiani will be seeking to clinch the New York City Marathon for the fourth time on Sunday. Kitiani was crowned winner in 2014, 2015 and 2016. But 2018 London Marathon champion Vivian Cheruiyot will also be seeking to stamp authority in New York after denying Kitiani victory in the London Marathon in April this year. Both athletes have got their eyes on winning the race. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. We'll be looking forward to following the final leg of the CAF Champions League this month. Next up, we've just completed the opening round of the Major League Soccer playoffs here in North America. Over the last 48 hours, we saw 4 games played, 2 in each conference, featuring the lower-seeded playoff teams. The Western Conference second round will feature games between Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake, and the Seattle Sounders taking on the Portland Timbers in a Northwestern rivalry. In the East, after DC United lost last night in penalty kicks to the Columbus Crew, that set up a series between the Crew and the New York Red Bulls. The other New York City team won its first round match. New York City FC and David Villa will play Atlanta United. Wayne Rooney and DC United needed a late-season undefeated streak to sneak into the playoffs and host the first-ever postseason match in the history of brand-new Audi Field. Over 20,000 fans, including me, came out for the game on Thursday night along the Washington, D.C. waterfront. Both Rooney and scoring partner Luciano Acosta were held in check, and the game went into overtime, tied 1-1. Federico Higuain scored in the first overtime period before Nick DeLeon equalized late in the second frame for DC United. Both Rooney and Acosta had their penalty kicks saved by Columbus goalie Zach Steffen. De Leon had a chance to send the penalty shootout into the sixth round, but his shot went over the crossbar. Rooney was proud of what DC United was able to achieve this year.
Yeah, it's disappointing, obviously, losing on penalties. But for us as a team, we can be extremely proud of what we've achieved in the last few months. I think today's game, I think just the crowd, the atmosphere, the way it was fantastic. It shows that the team have come a long way, and we can all be proud of our performances, and obviously, and try and build on this now next season. But we're extremely disappointed with the result in the end. But we wish Columbus good luck in the rest of the playoffs.
Rooney was not thrilled to see his first playoff game in Washington come down to penalty kicks, but he told his team they should be proud of how they played since he arrived in D.C. in the middle of July.
A penalty shootout, anything can happen. I think their keeper made a couple of good saves, and, you know, I said to the players before we any penalties were tough, whatever happens, we can be proud of what we've achieved, and hopefully it can carry on, but whatever happens, I'll be proud of what the team has achieved, because really we had no right to make the playoffs, and to do that, we've brought belief back to the fans, brought belief back to the team, and we have to build on that now.
That's Wayne Rooney, the famed English goal scorer, looking back on his first playoff game in the Major League Soccer as a member of DC United. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's transition now to a big event coming up this weekend that touches on all five boroughs of New York City. Thousands of runners will take the start on Staten Island, close to the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, and cross the Verrazano Narrows Bridge en route to Brooklyn and Queens. My colleague Gwen Uten is here to tell us about how some Kenyan runners might fare on Sunday, as well as to give us a look at the controversy roiling Olympic sports and the anti-doping community. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Mary Kay Tani is a 3-times champion in New York, winning consecutively in 2014, 15, and 16. However, she broke her winning streak in 2017 when she came in second. Mary says she's not disappointed with last year's second place finish, but she's prepared to do battle to reclaim the top spot.
I'm really prepared for the race on Sunday. Though last year I came second, and I was happy about the results. I don't complain, because marathon is marathon, so anything can happen at any moment. So you have to accept it. Anything can happen, and you have to be ready.
Earlier this year, Mary failed to break a 15-year-old world record in London, finishing in fifth place. But that's all behind her now, and Mary says she's looking forward to returning to New York.
New York is a very interesting city, since this is the seventh time coming to New York. So it's like I'm at home, and I'm proud to be again this year with my kids, my family. to cheer me, support me.
Fellow Kenyan marathoner Jeffrey Kamworor claimed his first major marathon win in New York last year, and he believes he has what it takes to defend his title.
Actually, I'm optimistic now that there is a strong feeling, the strong feeling in the event, and I'm looking forward to run my own race. I have trained well, and I'm ready for the race.
Mary and Jeffrey will join more than 50,000 runners expected to participate in this year's New York Marathon. The runners take their mark on Sunday, and we'll have those results next week. In other news, the World Anti-Doping Agency president, Craig Reedy, is hitting back at critics calling for him to step down. Reedy came under fire last September for lifting a 3-year sanction on Russia's anti-doping agency, despite its failure to comply with WADA's criteria for reinstatement. On Thursday, Reedy came to the defense of his organization and his deal with Russia.
At WADA, we care very deeply about detecting and deterring the cheats, about demonstrably installing a culture of clean sport, and about protecting clean athletes, despite constant accusations to the contrary. And the ongoing Russian doping saga is a case in point. Since the institutionalized doping program that was uncovered in Russia was fully investigated by us throughout the 2 independent investigations, WADA has been considerably strengthened. We have gained in terms of increased resources and greater powers to implement more robust regulations.
Athletes and members of the anti-doping community have described Russia's reinstatement as deeply troubling and a devastating blow to the world's clean athletes. Reedy admits he's been bruised by the criticism, but insists he will not step down.
I don't believe that running WADA, I have done anything that nobody in WADA is telling me that I am not performing well. Nobody in the IOC is telling me at the moment that I'm not performing well. So, I mean, why should I resign from IRA when I don't think that would be productive for either the IOC or for WADA? And therefore, I am pretty determined to see this out and to pass over WADA as an organisation, hopefully having met the Russian challenge and resolved it, with enough finance that it can get on with the good work that it does.
Russia's anti-doping agency was suspended in November 2015 after an independent WADA report outlined evidence of systematic doping and cover-ups in Russian sport. However, Reedy says he's hopeful Russia's reinstatement will give WADA access to data and urine samples stored in a Moscow laboratory. And he says despite mounting pressure, he plans to serve out the end of his second term, which expires next year. And that's all from me, and that ends the week. Dan, I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and we hope you have a great weekend, too.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
That music means it's time to chat about the NBA. Let's first take a look at some of the highlights from Thursday night's action in the association. The big game of the night was the matchup in Boston between the undefeated Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics.
The Celtics' big three of Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward combined for 64 points to end the Bucks' undefeated start with a 117-113 win. Irving had a team-high 28 points and made 6 of Boston's franchise record 24 three-pointers.
They're wide open. They're going to play defense like that, then I don't see why not. Al's a capable shooter. I have utmost confidence in him. And then, you know, if we don't have it, then we have secondary action as well that we can run. But I feel like, you know, if they're going to play that type of defense, and we should shoot it every time.
Horford and Hayward scored 18 apiece, and Marcus Morris added 17. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 33 points and 11 rebounds after missing the Bucks' last game with a concussion. Geffen Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by Swahili Service Chief Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza to talk about his impressions of the first part of the NBA season. Welcome to the show, Mwamoyo.
Thank you, Dan. It's nice to be here.
So let's just take a look at last night's scores. Only one team of the 12 teams playing scored under 100 points, and that's the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about them later. They lost to Denver 110-91. The other games featured scores in the 120s, 130s, and even the 140s as the Sacramento Kings beat the Atlanta Hawks 146-115. So, Mwamoyo, what do you attribute all this scoring to?
And that's exactly what jumps at me at the beginning of this season, the high scoring. These first few weeks of the season, the scoring has been so high. The pace has been so fast. The game is faster than normal. And there's an explosion of this high scoring with teams averaging, as we say, upward of 120 points per game. Now, normally in NBA season, when the season begins, players take time to get in rhythm, and it takes, you know, a few weeks before you see that the first game high scoring. But they started right off with the first bounce of the ball. Steph Curry exploded with 50 points. Klay Thompson followed with his own record-setting 14 three-pointers in a game against Chicago Bulls. So I think what we're looking at here is the pace has changed. The players, they're young. A lot of players, the NBA is very young league right now. You have players like LeBron James who are going, you know, into their 30s, but a lot of players are under 30. So they're young, they're strong, they're fast, and I think that's what makes the change in this high scoring and the way they are coached also. Because most of the coaches right now, they are coaching a modern game. They're not coaching the game of Phil Jackson. This is something new.
Yeah, the coaches are trying to see the teams shoot more. I saw a stat last night that showed that Milwaukee, which had been undefeated before losing to the Celtics last night, their made three-pointers per game is 3.5 or 4 times higher than it was during all of last season. So even a team like Milwaukee that has some young athletic players like Giannis Antetokounmpo is still focusing on getting more shots off each time they have the ball. And the other note that I've seen is there's been a small rule change in the league where the shot clock doesn't fully reset after an offensive rebound. What do you think that has changed about the game?
That also has helped in making the pace faster, because the shot clock comes back to 14 seconds only, so you don't have the full 24 seconds. But the other thing is the more conservative people like us old people, you know, if you could say, you know, a lot of people think there's no defense as it used to be in the NBA of the 90s or the early 2000s. People don't play defense as much as they used to, and that also contributes to this high scoring.
Yeah, that's a good point. So last night we saw this big matchup in the Eastern Conference between the Bucks and the Celtics. The Bucks were the number one team in the conference, having been undefeated before losing to the Celtics last night. So do you think that was a statement game that the Celtics are the number one team in the East?
Yes, that was a statement game, because the Celtics, they are poised to be the main contender for the Eastern Conference. Of course, Milwaukee Bucks are right there with them. There's also Toronto. We'll talk about it maybe later in the show. But Boston Celtics, they have all the tools. You know, they're set up with a small ball team, and Al Horford, you know, he can switch onto different guards. They have a young team: Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Gordon Hayward, and of course Kyrie Irving, who never backs down from anyone. So this team was built for the future. 2-3 years down the line, but those youngsters were forced to grow up last season with injuries to Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So here we have a very sharp young team, on average, actually younger than Golden State Warriors, which is poised to challenge Golden State Warriors this season.
Yeah, I think that'll be an important story to follow if the Celtics, now with LeBron in the West, the Celtics can run through the East. One quick thing I wanted to get your impression on was Derrick Rose the other night, 50-point game against a really strong defensive team in Utah. What do you think this means for Derrick Rose? Are we going to see some other big performances from him, or is this a flash in the pan?
It was a beautiful thing to watch. The last time Derrick Rose played, like that was 2011, I think, when he was MVP for
exactly.
Chicago Bulls. And then he went through so many injuries, got tossed around from team to team. But he looks healthy now. And he has been playing well since the season started, averaging 18 points. So it will go a long way to help him return to at least some kind of effectiveness he had with Chicago Bulls. I think Timberwolves, they have a good player there. And I don't see him, if he stays healthy, I don't see him, going back. He's going to go forward because he is that kind of player. He's very tough-minded, and he likes to push the action. That's what he was doing with Chicago Bulls. So if he stays healthy, maybe we have Derrick Rose back.
Yeah, it's sad to see him struggle so much in the last few years with the injuries. It would be great to see him be able to, even if he's on the back end of his career at this point, to kind of show a little bit of what he had in 2009 and 2010 and 2011, just so that maybe some of the newer fans in the NBA don't forget how good of a player he was back in the quote-unquote old days.
That's a very good point.
Let's take a quick look at the Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors are a team that has kind of fallen out of favor because of their struggles in the playoffs, having trouble beating the Cavs and LeBron. Now, of course, LeBron in the West. The Raptors are also 7-1. They're one of the top teams in the East. Once again, do you see the addition of Kawhi Leonard helping move them into a higher level this year?
They are definitely a different team. They were a good team last season. The last few seasons, they've been a good team. Their struggles come during the playoffs. But now they are contenders again, I think, with the addition of Leonard, as you say. I think they just got better. And they do have the existing pieces. Serge Ibaka is there. He's a rebound and blocking monster. Danny Green, a very good shooter at guard forward, who came to Toronto with Leonard from San Antonio Spurs. So that makes them a very good ball club. They are 7-1, as you say, 6-0 at home. So, they have a very good chance.
Yeah, so I wanted to play one soundbite from LeBron James talking about the close victory the other night that the Lakers had, 1-point win over the Dallas Mavericks. Let's take a listen to what LeBron had to say.
It's great that these young guys are getting this experience of playing these tight, close games, and then tonight we was on the other side of it. We lost a couple when we were, almost the same situation against San Antonio we lost. Same situation happened tonight, we won, so it was great to learn from it.
So LeBron is talking about playing with these young guys on the Lakers. Right now, the Lakers are outside of the playoffs looking in. They're 3-5, 8 games into the season. Do you think the Lakers might have a shot to get themselves into a playoff position sometime soon?
Any team with LeBron James is a team to watch. And LeBron has played for bad teams before, a.k.a. Cleveland Cavaliers, before they became a great team. So he should know how to carry this team. He is a mix of good experienced players such as guard Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee, and of course you have Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma. So this is a team, I think this is a team that could turn around mid-season if LeBron, keeps on playing well and leads this team.
Yeah, I think the other thing that is notable about how great a player LeBron really is to see the struggles of my hometown Cleveland Cavaliers without LeBron. You sort of take for granted, like, this is a decent team, but so much of it is because of LeBron. And here the Cavs, they only got their first win of the season the other day. They're 1-7. You think the Cavs are trying for that number one lottery pick already?
And sorry, I didn't know that's your home team, but hey, they have several issues. And this is the thing. Cleveland now is a building team because they don't know how to play without LeBron James.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be tough. Momoyo, thank you so much for being here and helping me wrap up the November 2nd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Bill Werkinger and engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sonny Young, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
It's the weekend, and you deserve something special. I've got just the thing, Pan-African music, with me, Heather Maxwell. Hello, everybody. You'll hear two great interviews. One features my recent visit to the Bizung School of Music and Dance in Tamale, Ghana, with Mohamed Alidu and his music students. And the other comes out of Nairobi. Bill Odidi talks with veteran dance hall artist Red Sun about his new album and his old hits, too.
My name is Red Sun, the baddest Mr. Badadan, Mr. Shoulderback, Mr. Wine, me, born and raised a Kenyan.
Song of the Week features the hit song Lepe Mala, currently tearing up the airwaves in Ethiopia. And there's so much more awesome music, people, you just don't want to miss it. So, sweeten up with me on Music Time in Africa. This Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Each of Earth's living beings has a built-in biological clock that functions over a 24-hour cycle. The so-called circadian clock is a well-regulated biological process which helps keep our bodies healthy by regulating tasks such as sleeping, waking, body temperature, and other important functions. Now a group of scientists at Chicago's Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine have developed what they call the first simple blood test that will tell what time it is according to your body's internal clock. Called Time Signature, the test will provide researchers new insight into the impact of unsynchronized internal clocks on a wide range of diseases. One day, this test could become an important part of personalized medicine, helping your doctor determine when you should be taking your medications and other important health decisions. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show. Our topic will be cooking. Is it a woman's job only? This will be Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa. She said she too young,
don't want no man. Starting Monday, November 5th, tune into Border Crossings to win a free copy of Now 68, featuring top songs from a variety of artists. This CD features Calvin Harris's One Kiss, along with Ariana Grande's God is a Woman, and many other hit songs. Tune in to Border Crossings to win.
A recent report from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change paints a rather gloomy picture of the future of planet Earth. Hello, I'm Rick Pantaleo. Please join Peter Frumhoff from the Union of Concerned Scientists and me for the Science Edition of Press Conference USA when we discuss the report and its possible implications. Listen for it this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is VOA News.